Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Nice to have you aboard on a Saturday morning. Welcome to Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. You can get your questions in this morning on X at ESPN 97.5. A lot of listener questions to get to. We have some reviewing to do as far as the Tour Championship. The Tour's on a little bit of a break right now, Charlie. It starts back up next week in Napa, and then 2 weeks after that, you've got the President's Cup. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. I am highly motivated. I feel good. Had my coffee. Here with you, Will. We get to talk about the sport we love.
A ton of listener questions and a lot of people on the golf course right now,
yeah,
Charlie.
And it's great. It's the sport is in good stead. I mean, we're making progress. The tee times are full. What's coming up with our economy and what's going to happen? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it going to go backwards? We've been at an all time high.
Yeah, questionable times ahead, Charlie. A lot coming up. Let's start with the President's Cup, which the Internationals will host at Royal Montreal in a few weeks. The captain's picks of both teams were made last week. You have a lot of experience at the President's Cup with your guy Angel Cabrera playing in it a couple times. Jonathan Vegas was a representative for the Internationals at the President's Cup. Let's start with Jim Furyk's selections for Team USA. Here they were.
Damon, I'm going to start out with Sam Burns, Russell Henley, Keegan Bradley, Max Homa, Brian Harmon, and Tony Finau.
So once again, those six names will join Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Wyndham Clark, Patrick Cantlay, Hith Thigala. What was your initial take at the six captains picks, Charlie?
Well, first, understanding what they are, and it's captain's picks. Who's the captain? Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk, how many years has he played on the PGA Tour? How many Ryder Cups has he been involved in? How many President's Cup? He's qualified to make these picks. He studies the lineup each week. He knows everybody. And Jim is meticulous in what he does. So I'm not going to second guess him. I just think, okay, if that's the way they go, you know, that's those picks are valid, and they're going to play as hard as they can, and I hope they play well.
Yeah, no, I think Burns and Finau, I certainly think over 60% of Furyk's picks were excellent picks. Furyk, Burns, you know, Finau, but You look at Max Homa and Brian Harmon's, you know, end of the season, and you know, Homa's had a great overall record in these team events, but his game has been non-existent the last 9 weeks. You know, has had a tough end of the year off the tee. You know, Brian Harmon the same way, a major champion Brian Harmon. But what's very interesting, Charlie, is Homa nor Harmon qualified for the Tour Championship. You know, didn't make it to the last week of the season. You know, some established Americans like Justin Thomas and, you know, a newcomer in Akshay Bhatia, they did make it to the Tour Championship. So how much do you think Furyk just – because to give Furyk this, he did pick the players who were 7 through 12 on the list. He picked the next seven best players as far as the official world golf rankings. But how much drama do you think he avoided by taking 7 through 12?
I'm not sure – drama. I mean, everybody has their opinion. You know, it's great to talk about it over a beer, getting coffee in the morning, you know, the golf fanatics. But the bottom line is I got to give Jim, it's his baby,
yeah.
And he understands what he's doing, and he's been there and done that. And I think the guys that were picked are really working hard right now. And sure, they had an early season that was really good, and then they finished poorly. But that happens in sport. But there's nothing that says that that spark can really start them up again playing for their country and with their team. So I think we're going to have a successful team.
I'm excited to see Keegan Bradley play in the President's
Incredible,
Cup.
Incredible what he has done. When the captains of the Ryder Cup last year snubbed him and didn't pick him. And now he's got something to prove, and he's a son of a PGA member, and he's a great player, and he's won majors, and he's really come on in his mid season, you might say, of his career. He's 37?
38.
You know, that was Hogan's best year. You know, so once again, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
And that's why they play the game, and we're going to see what happens.
100%. Once again, the picks he made, Russell Henley, Keegan Bradley, Tony Finau, Sam Burns, these are great picks, all guys who have had phenomenal years. You know, the same cannot be said about Homa and Harmon. But for those curious on why Jim Furyk did not pick Justin Thomas, this is a big name. We were talking about before the show that Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, it is shocking that at 30 and 31, those guys are not representing the United States in team events.
It's not shocking.
Well, I mean, of course, because of the year that Spieth had, it's not shocking.
Those guys played golf when they were 10, 11, 12 years old. Their career's almost over.
Charlie, so have you. You can go break 85 out there if you want to.
I can't break it. I can't break it with a stick. But, you know, this is what we really got to watch. Look at Jordan Spieth. He has this horrible problem with his wrist. Well, he's been pounding on that wrist since he's 12. I played with him. And this is happening a lot in sport. We're starting our kids too soon. And then we over-practice. Lydia Ko, what's she going to do? She's going to retire.
Yeah, Lexi Thompson, 31 years old.
31, but when did they start? Yeah. She was the youngest to ever play in the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a window.
The prime for golf, the window, in your eyes, is getting a bit younger.
A bit. You know, the PGA Tour is really young. And guys like Jordan are the older statesmen of the tour, and they've worked a lot and they've worked too hard. Nicholas always said, and I take a lot of heed in what he says. He said, you know, don't make golf more important than it really is. That's what everybody's doing, making it more important. Enjoy it for what it is. It's a game. You're going to play 20 times a year, just like what Roy McIlroy is saying. He's going to cut back. Less is better.
Yeah,
you know. And so you got to save your body. You can't play in there every day. And then you do the over practice. And these guys, at Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, bless their hearts, they work harder than anybody.
Yeah.
But too hard.
Yeah, we'll get to Furyk on JT, but just to respond to that point, Charlie, you know, Golf Digest published an article last week about how it was about how, you know, the overparenting, you know, the too much parenting behind the younger kids in golf. You've got parents slapping their kids after a bad round. What do you think about when you read that kind of stuff?
Well, my best friend in my professional life, and his name was Dick Harmon, and he was one of the greats. He died way, way too young. But he had a saying, and we had junior programs, and we did everything. And he says, you know, Chuck, he said, problem with today's junior golf are the parents.
Too much control?
You know, send them to the golf course and then leave.
Yeah.
But now they're going to meet them in the parking lot, yeah, and they're going to hit them because they scored poorly.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're really, you know, I'm glad I'm not in it anymore.
You have parents quitting their jobs, Charlie,
yeah,
to follow their children.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's out of control.
It's out of control. And so hopefully, you know, in the future, they won't hurt their kids. You know, I had a choice. I'm a professional. I've had a pretty good record. I made a decision right at the time where my grandson was really getting good. But I knew 5 years from now, I wasn't going to have the energy to help him. So I said, hey, I'm going to be his papa.
You passed the baton as far as his golf game.
And his father and mother, and my daughter Nona, she played collegiate golf. She knows what it's all about. And they take care of their children really, really well. And they've done really great parenting. And if we follow my son-in-law's, you know, last 10 years,
yeah,
he coached Little League. And he did a marvelous coaching job that, man, I said, I got to step away. These are my grandkids. I'm going to enjoy them when they come to the house and all that. But David and Nona have done a wonderful job. And they've let him experience a lot. And the results are Charlie's teeing it up in Sahali, yeah,
for TCU,
Washington, for
Charlie
TCU.
Wiley.
Yes.
The number three player,
yeah,
on the roster, going, yes, in as a freshman at, yeah, at a big time Division I program. Yeah. That's unheard of.
Yeah, that's really, really great. I mean, I'm very, very excited.
So they've done a great job with him, and I think that's what the listener can learn. Yeah, you know, there's a happy medium to it.
And I got out of the way.
Yeah. A six-time major champion getting out of the way. Charlie, before we go to break, we have a message for small business owners looking to improve their HR and services.
Well, you know that. You know why we're here today is our sponsor, Insperity, is a company that sees how important it is how we treat people. And they treat people at their building in their business wonderful. You know, they got 4,000 employees all over the country coming up with ideas on how to help small business grow. That's the backbone of our country's economic success, small business. HR, human resources, take care of your employees, make sure they're rewarded for what they do, they get the right help. And Insperity is a company that just follows that to a T. And they have, you know, they went from zero to $7 billion in a very short time. So if you're a small business owner and you're looking forward to trying to grow your business, give them a call. Find out who they are, study them, and I guarantee if you put them to work for you, your business will grow. And that's what it's all about, growing your business.
Once again, that is Insperity.com for business owners looking to expand their HR capabilities. On the other side, we'll talk about international captain Mike Weir's pick. We'll do that. We'll also talk about TNT's 10th edition of the match, which is going to be coming up in mid-December. That'll be Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy versus Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. We'll get Charlie's take on whether he's going to watch that or not. And then we'll also get to more of your listener questions. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity. Back after this.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
You know, when you look at which team was, you know, we're talking President's Cup here. When you look at which team was affected more by the fact that live golfers can't compete in the PGA Tour-hosted President's Cup, when you look at which side was more affected, you have to think it was the internationals. Their top six are Hideki Matsuyama, Adam Scott, Sung J.M., Tom Kim, Jason Day, and Byung-Hun An. if they could have added Joaquim Niemann, Cam Smith, and Louis Oosthuizen and Abe Answer, I think the Internationals would have a good shot. I don't think they do as of this point, Charlie. I think this will be a President's Cup won by the Americans.
I think they got a great team. I think they have a great captain. And it doesn't matter who is not there. That's history. We got to stay in the present. And their team is prepared to play. And the big thing that they have, it's being played in Canada.
Royal Montreal, Charlie, have you
and
been
there? Canadians, no, I have not. The Canadians are great sports fans, starting with hockey, curling.
Yeah.
But golf is an incredible sport in Canada, even though it's a summer sport. So I think it's a golf is a game of emotion. And although I think the I wish the guy that had won the
Canadian Open, Nick Taylor,
he would have brought so much more emotion to the game. I think we're looking at a good upset.
No doubt, Charlie. Three Canadians representing the Internationals. You have Taylor Pendrith, Corey Connors, and then Mackenzie Hughes.
Yep.
Mackenzie Hughes was probably the one most people were questioning to take over Nick Taylor. Nick Taylor, I mean, you talk about the two events that he's won in the last 2 years. He won the Canadian Open 2 years ago. He buried a 72-footer on the final hole to beat Roy. 72 feet, Charlie, a marathon. And then he won the Phoenix Open this year in another incredible atmosphere that really models, you know, a President's Cup atmosphere. So
you know the Phoenix Open?
Yeah.
The gallery is incredible. I guarantee you there's no more Canadians in that gallery than anything because everybody from Canada comes down winners in Phoenix. So they have a great, great gathering of Canadians and the emotion that they can bring to a golf tournament. It was really, really fun. Right. So that's what's going to happen now. At the President's Cup.
Yeah, this will be the second time in history that Royal Montreal has hosted the President's Cup. Mike Weir was asked by Golf Channel how he would respond if he ever faced criticism for taking three total Canadians. Here was his answer there.
Well, I think their performances has earned them spots on the team, and I mean, all of us guys that have played the game a long time, you know, you have these stretches, and that was their first times playing in Charlotte, and it didn't go their way. Doesn't mean anything 2 years later, in my mind. So I think, you know, three Canadians on the team is the most we've ever had, which is fantastic. It's the trend in Canadian golf. We have a lot better players and a deeper core of players across Canada to choose from compared to maybe my era, where there wasn't as many. So that just shows the state of Canadian golf and how strong it is. To your guys' question earlier, in your point that there could have been possibly four or five, that's a very true fact, and that's exciting for Canadian golf. But I think the picks are warranted, and they deserve it. They play great golf.
Yeah, Nick Taylor and Adam Svensson, I mean, could have made up another two. Captain's picks could have made out five total Canadians in the President's Cup. That's not going to be the case. But, Charlie, have you spent a lot of time around Weir, and how confident are you in him leading the Internationals?
Weir is a wonderful person. I mean, he's very, very plain and simple, and he went to school at BYU, if I'm not mistaken, and a patient and works at the game harder than anybody. And
Masters champion.
I went up to him after the Masters victory, and I happened to have a flag. And I said, Mark, would you do me the honor of signing this flag? Yes, sir, Mr. Epps, no problem. I said, Mr. Epps, no. Charlie said, no, you're a lot older than I am. But very, very gracious, very gracious. So I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to, you know, represent the Canadian golf population very well, and the Internationals.
No doubt. We'll continue to keep you up to date as far as the President's Cup here over the next 2 weeks. Once again, that's September 12th through the 15th at Royal Montreal. That's going to be a big-time event. in the middle of the eight-tournament PGA Tour Fall Series, which will begin in Napa next week. Let's get to some questions. Hector asks, Charlie, I heard this week that Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy will face off in a match against Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. Will you be watching?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm a golf fanatic. I can't get enough golf, whether it's in a book or on television. And a made-for-television match like this is very good for the game, I think, for the pure golfer. You can record it. You can watch it. There are four great players. I'm not sure what golf course they're going to be playing.
Yeah, it'll be either. Now this is going off of the last nine editions of the match. It's either been played at the Wynn or
Shadow Creek.
Shadow Creek. There you go, Charlie. Wynn or Shadow Creek. It'll be played in mid-December, and they have not announced the format yet.
Well, the format, I hope they don't try to get very
Don't get too cute.
You know, it's just, let's just get it going.
Play 18 holes. Charlie, the first edition of the match was played in 2018. Now honestly, it was played well before then.
No. The match, San Francisco, two amateurs against two professionals, Ken Venturi.
Yeah, you had Ken Venturi and Harvey Ward.
Ward was one of the great amateurs. It was his time.
It was two top amateurs versus the two top professionals in 1956. It was Harvey Ward and Ken Venturi against Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan.
Who?
That's a match right there. That's a match. Could you imagine the top two players on the PGA Tour right now? That'd be Scheffler and Schauffele going against Luke Clanton from Florida State and maybe Stuart Hagstad.
Yep.
You know, that'd be a good test right there.
It really would. The young guys are really prepared. And like we said, the game of the golf professionally is getting younger. But hopefully, you know, I don't know who their announcers are going to be. I hope they don't make it
too much of a circus.
Yeah. So, and I don't think they will.
They had Bert Kreischer, the Netflix comedian, doing the last match, which was F1 versus PGA Tour. And it was too much of a circus, Charlie. Yeah. Let's stick to the golf, good competitive golf. Hopefully there's some jokes, some banter amongst those four players. Why, for the fan at home, why are Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, once again, two huge names in the game, two names that will certainly bring millions of eyes to the television. You know, they played in the first edition of this franchise by TNT, the match in 2018, Tiger versus Phil. Phil won. You know, why are we not going to see them in the same match again?
I like what Jackie Burke always said about Ben Crenshaw. Ben Crenshaw, one of his passions is the history of the game. And Ben was talking to Jackie, and Jackie says, you know, Ben, the only thing wrong with you is you are history. Meaning Tiger Woods and Mickelson are history. They're out of the equation. Look at the poor year that Tiger had, and I admire him for trying to get back in the game and trying to find a way to play it. But bottom line is, he's a draw, but he's not going to win. And Mickelson, you don't know where this airhead is. After what he's done, he wins the PGA at 52, and his future is set. And he chose to go a different way. So I think the now, you know, Scotty, my nickname for Scotty is Big. Big Scotty.
So I got another question for you on the Crenshaw note.
Yeah.
Was Crenshaw still a big deal, and obviously he still is today, but in his latter years of his career, like Tiger and Phil are now, was he still a big deal where people were talking about him a lot, but he couldn't quite put on the same performance on the golf course?
Yeah, I mean, Big is almost in his 70s now, And so the younger generation, they've never seen him, either the Champions Tour or his great professional tour. Yeah. He won almost 20 tour events, won the Masters twice. But no, he's not talked about at the family table anymore. He's an architect.
Yeah. Great, builds great courses.
Yeah, he sure does.
But when you talk about Tiger and Phil,
yeah,
how their names still resonate with the average fan, yet they can't put on that same performance they did 10 years ago. That seems like a bit of a problem for the game.
Yeah.
But you, like you said, your favorite guy, Scottie Scheffler, I think he's obviously has what it takes to carry that load.
What he's done, he's a proven commodity, and he plays large, and he's not afraid to shoot 62 to win the Olympics. You know, I mean, those things are done by great champions. And one listener asked if I was going to watch it. One of the main reasons I'm going to watch it is I want to see great golf. I'm going to see stuff that is going to be, you know, depending on the golf course. And in mid-December, you know, they're not going to be finely tuned or anything like that. But it'll be a good entertainment for 2.5 hours.
I'd like to see it at Champions in Houston.
Oh, man, I was out to Champions the other day, and it's beautiful. It's primo. Jackie is, he'd be so proud of what the new owners have done to the facility, and they have, you know, the quality of golf out there. You know, they've got so many good golfers, so they keep it in premier, you know, condition. This Monday and Tuesday, the Southern Texas PGA is going to have their annual championship there, and I'm going to go out and watch. I was hoping to go out and play. Just, you know, it's just I won the Southern Texas Championship three times. But, you know, I
played in 6 majors.
I can't get to number 1 and 3. Yeah.
It's good you're even watching, Charlie.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously the STPGA and the support that you've put behind that over the years is spectacular. But yeah, I would love to see one of these matches come to Champions. It just seems like the tour events and the exhibitions we see in Vegas are really quite boring with some of the course layouts they have. But we have to go to break. On the other side, we'll answer more of your questions. We'll talk about the keys to Scottie Scheffler's magical 2024 season. We'll be back after this. This is Charlie Epps, Golf Arbs and by Insperity. Talk after this break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Really unbelievable win by world number one Scottie Scheffler last week. Technically, the win at Eastlake was his 7th PGA Tour win of the season. In my eyes, it's 8 because the Olympics was on the PGA Tour schedule, and I mean, he won with the Sunday 62, and that was just unbelievable, and some golf that we've never watched before at La National. When you look at Scheffler's first 2 years on tour, 22 and 23, what made 2024 so much more dominant for Scottie Scheffler?
Well, because he lost the tour championship twice.
Yeah.
With the format that they had.
Went in with the lead in the staggered start leaderboard twice.
Yep.
Could not get it done.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to pay your dues. You got to pay your time, and he never wavered from that. And I can honestly say his coach is really a individual with a lot of old time information. You know, he's not that complicated, and he's kept it. You know, since he's 7 years old, he's taught. Randy Smith from Royal Oaks in Dallas, and Randy's had other. Justin Leonard won the British Open.
Yep.
I mean, he's had champion after champion.
Ryan Palmer, so, Cody Gribble.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, exactly right. So, But Big Scotty, he's playing large. I mean, what he did this year in this generation, I'm not sure Tiger could have done it.
Yeah, 7 wins is a lot for how small the margin is between these players, Charlie. Yes,
yeah. And he won at all the big venues. And so what's going to happen in 2025? I don't know.
Probably a new player coming along, Charlie. The PGA Tour ecosystem, you know, with Ludwig Oberg and Luke Clinton, yeah. It's one year after another.
Yeah, how about Oberg getting his knee fixed?
Already. Yeah. Already had a torn meniscus in the left knee. Played through it for most of this year. I was shocked.
Probably shouldn't have. You got injuries like that, you got to take care of them quick.
Yeah. One thing that stood out to me on the stat sheet when I was looking back at Scheffler's year was, I mean, just how much better he putted under, you know, he added Phil Kenyon, who's a putting guru, to his team at the beginning of this year. Scheffler, for how good of a ball striking year he had in 2023, was really impacted by some poor putting last year. Maybe would have won 6 or 7 tournaments last year had he putted well. And then you look at the stats this year. Scheffler only had negative putting weeks on the greens 4 times this year over the whole season. Here was his comments on his work on the greens this year after the Tour Championship.
Well, they changed the greens a lot.
That helped?
It didn't hurt. It can be really challenging when you redo a golf course that's as loved as this one was. And so we'll see in the coming years how the redo will play as the greens soften and everything seems to settle in. Yeah, I was seeing my lines nice this week. I did a good job. That's the thing. Like, I can put a good stroke on it, and it's hard to describe, but typically new greens are very difficult to read. And so maybe since the greens were new, I did an even better job of just trying to hit my line, knowing that the ball is going to wiggle sometimes, almost like sometimes like putting on Poena. Like, all you can do is just try to put a good stroke on it, and I feel like this week that's really all I was doing. I was holding my line well and was able to see some nice putts go in and some important ones too.
And his caddy. His caddy has been just a godsend. He has done such a good job, and Scotty's not afraid to tell everybody how the caddy talks to him and gives him a speech and keeps him, you know, going the right direction. And so his team has just done a wonderful job. And, you know, I think you learn more by losing than you do by winning. And he you know, he was very, very conscious of his putting, and he did something about it.
Absolutely. Hired the great Phil Kenyon to the team. Those two have done miracles together on the greens. Here's a question from Mickey. Charlie, clearly Ted Scott, to your point on caddying, clearly Ted Scott has made a huge difference to Scottie Scheffler's performance since he started caddying for him. How many strokes would a 15 handicapper save with a caddy like that on the bag? Great question.
Well, I'm not sure. I can't answer that question. It's so hypothetical. But I think a 15 handicapper would be better off with a good putting coach than a caddy.
That's what they should take away from with Scheffler this year, is more the coach and not the caddy.
Yeah. And that his caddy was more of a coach also. You know, he was his handler. It's just kind of like the boxer goes back to his corner and he just got nailed by some big guy. And the boxer is brought back to life with his coach, his corner man, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I'm sure Scotty shanked that shot on the 8th hole on Sunday. It's kind of like being hit with the right jab. And when he was walking to the next shot, his caddy was saying, okay, now what do I got to do to keep this guy going? And he gave him a wonderful speech and told him he was still under control. He still had a 2-shot lead. See, everything is positive, you know. What we do, what all the people that are looking for the answers to who should be on the team, we're thinking about the guys that were left off instead of thinking about how good the guys that were put on the team.
Oh, no doubt. Russell Henley, great year. Keegan Bradley, great year. Tony Finau, Sam Burns, incredible runs in the playoffs. You can't say the same about Max Homa and Brian Harmon.
But I think this will spark him. I mean, this will wake him up.
And Harmon's an incredible driver of the golf ball, a Jack Lumpkin prodigy. As far as Royal Montreal and the flyovers I've watched, obviously you have long fescue rough guarding the tight fairways there at Royal Montreal. You need a driver like Harmon as far as the captain's picks.
And that Harmon has got some guts.
Yeah. Won the Open by 6 shots at Liverpool.
The British Open?
Yeah, the British. How about the fact that Scheffler's caddy, Ted Scott, would have finished 20th on the FedEx Cup money list at the end of the season had he been a player? Made over $5 million on the course this season, Ted Scott. Another thing on the caddies, you know, it's amazing to look at the difference between the caddies for the younger players and someone like Scottie Scheffler. When I was watching the last regular season event of the year at the Wyndham, you know, Max Gracerman is a rookie who had a 4-shot lead with 5 to play, and he really started to rush down the stretch of the tournament. I mean, walking quicker, routine was quicker, rhythm in the golf swing was quicker, and the caddy looked like he had no clue what to do. Whereas when Scotty gets quick or a little frustrated, I mean,
well, let's explain
Ted Scott's
like
a therapist.
Our listeners, how his caddy won all that money. In the start of the year, the caddy has a contract with the player for what his salary is going to be, weekly salary, because he's got to pay the expenses, and then what his percentage of the pot's going to be. And he's motivated by that. And the big thing about the PGA Tour, a caddy gets 10% of a win. So that means he went $3.6 million. The caddy that week gets $360,000. Pretty good,
incredible.
Isn't it? And then
is that pretty consistent amongst every player?
Yes, the top 10 win.
Is it a rule?
No, it's not a rule because independent contractor. It's a guide, and they make different relationships. A top 10 finish is a 7%. Piece of the pie. After the 10%, you make a cut 5% going down. So it's 10-7-5 plus a salary. Okay. And then, you know, now the caddies today, you know, they have enough money to have pay for their own health insurance, have to pay for their own travel. So it's but with the inflated purses that we have today, caddying can be very, 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 you know,
great
rewarding.
Job. Yeah, absolutely.
Rewarding. And they deserve it. And the best tournament I ever had was when I had a professional caddy with me, Billy Harmon, and it was incredible.
He's caddied for Bill Haas.
Bill Haas for
quite a bit.
20 years. And now, you know, he really, you know, caddies are, you know, Sammy Foy.
Who's the best caddy you ever came across, Charlie? Most impressive one.
Well, you know, geez, that's a, there's been, you know, so many.
But I met Fluff a couple months ago. That was a cool meet. Yeah. You know,
Sammy Foy, killer Foy that caddied for Hale Irwin for so many years.
Killer Foy?
Killer
Foy. Call him.
Canvas back. You know why? He spent more time on the canvas than he on his back. But he caddied for my daughter Mimi at Memorial, and she won the city championship.
Wow. Wow.
Sammy, it was delightful. But, you know, all the other caddies, there's so many. Hal Sutton had a caddy called Golf Ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he was caddy for Hal, you know, many times. So
how about Steve Williams? You ever see him?
Oh yeah, Steve was
knock over a photographer.
He was a bull in the china closet. He was very, very athletic, and he didn't take any BS from anybody, and you know he threw the camera in the lake.
Yeah. He got a couple invoices from Nikon and a couple photographers, but you know when you got in Charlie's way, Steve Williams was going to teach you a lesson. We got to take a quick break. On the other side, we'll get to the rest of your listener questions. This is Charlie Epps Golf Harvest and Brian Sparity. Back after this.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
All right, last segment here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're going to get to some of your questions here in just a bit. But for our Texas listeners, we have an update on our guy Jordan Spieth. You know, we're used to seeing him, you know, move the ball however he wants. We're used to see him dominating tournaments and contending in majors. That wasn't the case this year, as he finished the season 67th on the FedEx Cup standings and did not make it past the first round of the playoffs. And after the season, Spieth announced that he would have wrist surgery. And here was a bit from his interview with Colton Yost after the operation.
Technically, this wrist, I messed up training back in like late 17, beginning of 2018. And I didn't get it fixed maybe then. And I kind of got into some bad habits. And then as I started to swing it better a few years ago, it started to kind of act up again. And then ultimately I had an incident last May, a little over a year ago, when I was with my son in the pool and I was just kind of getting out and something popped and I couldn't move it. I had to withdraw from the Byron the next week. And it's kind of been something this year where that kind of dislocation has happened, you know, 20 some odd times since February, and it started to happen more and more. So it was something that couldn't fix itself with rest, unfortunately. So that's why I ended up having to do this. So the answer, I mean, it's been a while in general. So hopefully this cleans everything up from you know, that original incident. Didn't bother me much golfing. It would always happen off the golf course, but I mean, it would happen sometimes within an hour of like teeing off, at a couple different times, but I would be able to kind of get it, the tendon back in place. And so this is one of those things like, man, this isn't sustainable. But there was one day, it was the Friday of John Deere this year, where I actually texted Michael, like, hey man, I, you know, it came out last night, it hasn't gone back in overnight, and I can't do this. I got to go get this thing fixed now. So that Friday of the John Deere, I was calling it quits. Actually, it was an afternoon tea time, and I actually ended up getting to the range about 15 minutes before my time, because I finally got it in and just said, let's just see what happens here this week, and then I can reassess after if I play through the Open or whatever. So yeah, late this year, it just started to happen more and more. So there was that one specific time there where I remember, you know, I'm withdrawing and I got to go get this done. But
Charlie, he's been struggling with the wrist since 2017, 2018. So as far back as his last major win at the 2017 Open at Birkdale, when you watch Spieth's homemade move, you know, the bowed left wrist at the top, a lot of pressure on that elbow and that really just a swing that appears that it puts a lot of pressure on that left wrist. Is this something you could see coming?
You know, I knew something was wrong. I thought at times maybe he was getting too technical with his swing and he was going the wrong direction. It didn't hit me that he was injured, because he continued playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the NFL, in the, you know, the major, you know, look at all the injuries that happen in sports. Your body is your machine, and you got to take care of it. So I had no idea that early that he was having problems like that. I really thought this year his swing looked as good as it ever has. But with that injury and that, you know, it's a shame. So hopefully he's going to rest, not come back too soon, and become the Spieth, Jordan Spieth that we thought he was going to become.
I want to see him contend against fellow Longhorn Scotty Scheffler and see him get in the mix there. You know, as far as his game this year, I thought, I agree with you, the swing looked great. It was interesting to see him go to a little bit more of a reverse C posture with the putting. He's been such a good putter for the last 10 years. Did you see any changes with that?
You know, I didn't watch him that much.
He wasn't in contention that much, Charlie.
So I just kept watching the scores, and they weren't what he needed to do to compete with Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, not even close.
Not even close.
Let's get to a few of your questions from George. Charlie, what's the average time a player on the PGA Tour hits on the range before a competitive round? And have you ever known any professional who never hit a ball before a round?
Carlos Franco from Paraguay.
Wow. Four-time PGA Tour winner.
Yes, he would. He had one of those long, lazy swings, and he was so supple. And he grew up in poverty in Paraguay, and his brothers and him were caddies, and they didn't have a range. They couldn't go to the golf course, so they hit balls in the campo, you know, just out in the middle of nowhere. And so he didn't need a range. He didn't complicate it. And he came up to the States, and he had success on the European tour, but he won four times. He beat my man Brian McAllister in a playoff in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That Blaine, bless his heart, he just three putted and gave it to him. But he was one of them. And then there's people, you know, it. They're so disciplined now, they get to the golf course probably 3 hours early, unless they do all their physio at their home. But they know how to warm up and get their body going. And the PGA Tour has special training vans that they can go in and warm up for an hour. And then they go back and get dressed, and then they eat properly. And so it's regimented.
Charlie, when I was playing high school and collegiate golf, I would get so worked up over my range sessions before competitive rounds, and it almost felt like the round was over before I even stepped on the first tee, whereas guys like Michael Thorby Olsen, who number one amateur coming out of Stanford, now plays on the PGA Tour, you know, he'd hit 10, 15 balls and walk away from the range and head to the first tee, you know, you know, it didn't matter how the range session went.
Yeah.
How important is it for amateurs to not kind of fret over a bad range session walking to the first hole?
Well, to me, with Anka, for example, if he hit it bad, he was going to play good.
Wow. So but he didn't put much stock in the range session. It was just a warm up, wasn't it?
Well, it was a warm up, and he'd go through the bag, you know, and hit 5 to 8 balls with each club or every other club, and the driver, and then we finally, you know, when we really made headway, we had more time on the putting green. But you know, golf is an individual sport, but you have to program your 6 hours that a round of golf is going to take. And when I say that is because as soon as you get that mindset and you finish your breakfast, you know, you have certain things you must accomplish to stay organized. And so when you get to the first tee, you know, get three pars the first, you know, get off to a good start. That's what I always tried to do as a player. I didn't think about 18. I just thought about number one. I want to make par on number one, par on number two. Uh-oh, I made birdie. And, you know, so it's a personal choice, but you and your team can get organized. Just like Charlie's learning up at TCU, the coaches have them in training, and they're going to be organized to play around the golf.
Yeah, routine, very personal thing.
Yes.
Very personal thing. Charlie, 50 seconds left. Great show today. You've got your scholarship tournament coming up. You've raised over $100,000.
Isn't that great?
For junior golfers to go to college 3 years running. Anything you want to say on your scholarship event coming up on September 23rd?
Well, it's full, but if you want to send me some money to give to kids, we'll do it. We pick kids that one of the requirements is they participate in the Southern Texas PGA Junior program, and it's not that they need to be a champion, but you know, experience golf. You take care of your responsibilities. You write a letter and telling us why we need to reward you with a scholarship, and to get that young mind working the right way. And we've done that really quite successfully, and we're getting better. And this year, because of, you know, Insperity, because of La Sanca from Venezuela, we've got so many generous people that are giving us some money that we can dole out to kids that, one, they have a need. They need money because they're going to go to school, and that'll give them more time to play golf and practice.
Yeah, and you've got kids that have dreams to go to the PGA Tour. You have kids that you're giving scholarships to that have dreams of being doctors. Scholarship recipients going to Rice, going to Letourneau, from Division One to NAIA.
Pennsylvania.
You're covering it from top to bottom, Charlie. We are out of time. Thank you to the great Austin Rodriguez, A-Rod behind the ones and twos. He's the best. Charlie, great work today. We'll see you next Saturday.
Thank you.
Here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.